I want to read all the way down to verse 15, but verse 3 will be our text. Are you ready? That's a lot of reading. That's a whole lot of reading there. All right, so would to God, says the Apostle Paul, you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, you don't hear Paul say that too often, by the way. You read from Acts through all of his epistles, you will rarely hear Paul say, I fear. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. For such are false apostles. We'll call them out, Paul. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So Paul says he's jealous of the Corinthians because he knows they're listening to other voices. And some of them are not just listening, but they're hearkening. It's affecting their belief. And your belief affects your behavior. And Paul is very concerned about that. He doesn't want to come across inappropriate, as though he's lording over God's heritage. He lets them know, I didn't take wages from you. But he wants them to know, there are some voices that you need to be mindful of that are destructive. Our text verse is verse 3. The title will be, As the Serpent Beguiled Eve. That's the title. As the Serpent Beguiled Eve. Father, we pray that you bless the message, minister to our hearts. Thank you for the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit be the teacher this evening. I am thankful for the insight that you've allowed me to see, and I ask that if there is more that you'd have me to share, that you'd open it up. And even as folks would read the word and follow along, Lord, may you give them what they need from the scriptures this evening. We are grateful, as Daniel proclaimed, that there is a God. Regardless of what's going on in our lives and in this world, there is a God. And we can find him through the scriptures, through the holy word. We can find him through prayer. We need to look up from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Bless the special music now. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Not without the Bible, though. Oh, boy. I should have done this earlier. I just happened to look in the drawer there and found what I was looking for. So Please stand by for station identification. Brother Steve, that is a blessing. Appreciate that. I almost said, well done, Jones family and Wilson family. I understand. All right. Give me a moment. This is a little bit new, this contraption. All right. So this goes here. I really feel bad that you have to watch all this. This goes here, this antenna. I don't even know if I got that right. Okay, like this. It's like some halo or something. I don't think so. All right. I'm not going to put my jacket back on. All right. I want us to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Allow me to read this verse again. This is our text verse. But I fear, says Paul, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let me define a couple words here. I think most of you understand, but the word beguiled simply means to deceive or seduce. To deceive or seduce. To create an appeal to do something that is wrong. And the word simplicity there may not be what you think. It's not in reference to naivety in that sense. But it's in reference to the singleness. Notice the reading, it says, I fear lest the serpent beguile you as he did Eve through the simplicity that, what's it say? That is in Christ. It's not naivety that is in Christ, it's simplicity. And the word simplicity means singleness. It also has the idea of sincerity. Now that's very important. We can understand that because we understand there is only one way to heaven, right? The one answer for this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we will come back to that. But what I want to zero in on initially is this idea of being beguiled by the serpent. And the reality is there were probably some already that had been beguiled by false teachers. And we read all the way to verse 14 that you would see that the devil can use human instrumentality he uses human instrumentality to deceive people. Okay? And sometimes he uses human instrumentality that poses as somebody who is standing for what is right, an angel of light. And unless you and I can figure this out, I tell you, it can cost us. So this last month's Reader's Digest, the June edition, I get it. I read this. I don't read it all the time, but I happened to read this when it got my attention. Then I saw it out at Mom and Dad's house, and I thought, where is mine at? And I went back, couldn't find it, and I'm glad she brought it here. But let me just share a couple things. I didn't have a lot of time to review it again. I'd rather just share without looking down at this. But the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, tracked $27.5 billion in losses between 2018 and 2022 in America. And most of the scam artists are from other countries. Now, there's all kinds of little stories here, but let me just share this one. In March 2022, and 50% of the victims are seniors, retired people. But that generation, whatever they call them, Z, those that were born from 1996 till now, they're getting hit a lot too because they are naive. A lot of them. Not this crowd. But they are naive. In March 2022, an 81-year-old man in Ontario fell for a grandparent scam.
The grandchild said he had been pulled over by police and needed money for the fine. The grandfather paid. Then came a second call, supposedly from a Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer, who validated the grandson's story and said more money was needed. The grandfather made four payments over 3 months and lost more than $70,000. Now, if you're not embarrassed, if it's happened to you and you're not embarrassed to raise your hand, how many of you have been scammed? Okay. So it's not a lot, but who knows, the others might be embarrassed. That's just like that, they can take over your computer if you give them permission, lock you out, get into all kinds of stuff. And that's a lot of money, but what's scary is, that's something we need to be privy to, and there ought to be some red alerts, and that Reader's Digest had some good red alerts to be mindful of, spelling typos and things like that, and most of the time, they don't demand money like that. That's odd. And he also said that sometimes the scam artist will imitate a relative's voice. That's just crazy. They'll find somebody that can imitate. So the next time your husband calls you, dear wife, just say, how do I know it's you? How do I know it's you? I see that hand, Mickey. You got a comment? Oh. Yeah. They're watching and listening to us right now. So they're going to hear the gospel is what they're going to hear. Now, it is a tragedy to lose money, to lose a lot of money, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I want to tell you about a greater tragedy. It's a tragedy when the devil beguiles you and scams you out of a testimony that could have brought people to Christ. Scams you out of a testimony that could have preserved your marriage or enhanced your marriage, but actually turned your marriage into divorce or destruction because he beguiled you. Or you lose your children as a result. Or a church implodes or explodes because the church has been beguiled. That's a greater tragedy because that affects eternity, ladies and gentlemen. And so what I want to share with you is just some things that Paul reveals and then some things that I feel are logical as a result of the teaching. So this phrase, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve. As the serpent beguiled Eve. Well, how did he beguile Eve? Let's turn to Genesis 3. Let's use our Bible, Genesis 3, because that's one way to decode the devil. General Patton of World War II was able to conquer the great desert fox, Rommel, because Rommel made the mistake of writing a book about tank tactics. General Patton read that book, and he knew all of his tactics. Well, God has given us a book here, How to See the Devil's Tactics, okay? It's revealed right here in the Scriptures, and I'm still looking for Genesis. That's still in the beginning, isn't it? Genesis 3. All right, Genesis 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Actually, yes, verse 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, here's the first one, yea, hath God said. But actually, that's not the first thing. I don't want to lose my place here, so let me mark my Bible in Corinthians. How did the devil beguile Eve? And I know there was no policy against this. But he got her while she was near the tree of temptation. And I think it'd be prudent for you and I to understand it's never wise to hang around temptation if you don't have to. It's never wise to let your eyes absorb temptation. And your ears absorb temptation. That's never wise. Because if you're around temptation, then the tempter's going to show up. Especially if you're a Christian. especially if you have the value of Christ in you, the hope of glory, you are a target. He's already got the lost world. But you who know Christ, he's got to destroy you. And one of the ways he'll do it is if you put yourself near temptation. Beware of getting too close to temptation. Beware of the things you watch. Beware of the things you listen to. Used to hear preaching against that stuff all the time, or about that stuff all the time, didn't we? Then we started generalizing sin. If that ever happens here, let me know. Because the Bible's pretty specific about certain sins. Okay. It just is, but I don't have time to list every category. But pornography would be one. Like, the big one. You get near it, and you hear about it, or somebody who's got a problem with alcohol. Dump the stuff. Dump it. I'd even say this, if you don't have a problem with it, dump it. Alcohol's never done anybody any favors. It's been a deceitful favor at most. It sent my dad to heaven early is what it did. I move on here because there's a lot to this message. How did the serpent beguile Eve? He caught her near the tree of temptation. He questioned the authority of God's word. He's still doing that. He questioned the authority of God's word. And it's one thing for the lost world to question the authority of God's word. It's another thing when a child of God who believes that Jesus Christ is their personal Savior, they begin to doubt the word of God. Well, if they do, I know what voice they've been listening to. I know what voice they've been listening to. And usually it's not just a case of where they've been spending time, who they've been spending time with, but who they haven't been spending time with. Hello? You're not going to build yourself up on your most holy faith if you avoid the people of God. You're not going to do it. That's why Wednesday is important. That's why Sunday night is important. That's why Sunday school is important. That's why revivals are important. And we need it. I mean, we need that group fellowship as well as our own personal diet of the Word of God. Number three, we read on. So, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now he's gone from questioning the authority of God's word to lying about the consequence of disobedience. Lying about the consequence of disobedience. Everybody thinks there's an exception. David was not an exception. Lot was not an exception. By the way, Abraham was not an exception. And so, sin has a consequence. Ultimately, it's death. Fortunately for you and I, vicariously, Christ died for us. Redemption has been paid. Eternal life is secure in Christ. But now, as we live and sojourn on this earth, don't think we can just get by with sin. Continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He lied about the consequence of sin. It's baffling. People can grow up in church and think, well, I'm an exception to getting too close to the opposite gender, sex. By the way, there's only two. Just want to make sure this crowd knows that. Male and female is how God made them. There's no in-betweens. But I did like the statement that I made. If a guy thinks he's a mule, he probably is. I'm being appropriate. Had one young man at the youth last week tell me that they'd actually put kitty litter box in one of the bathrooms at one of the schools. I don't know if it was in Lebanon or in Kokomo. Does anybody remember who was that youth? In Lebanon. What on earth? I mean, the community ought to rise up and say, what is going on? Where are the parents? Okay, I'm going to get off track here. Got to keep moving. But the devil lied about the consequence of disobedience. Ye shall not surely die. Number four, he appealed. This is very important because this is what really got her. He appealed to her curiosity for wisdom beyond what God had given her. Now watch this. Verse 5, the devil speaks. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I brought this up in the teacher's meeting. I don't think I brought it up here. I don't think I brought it up out here, Brother Aaron. Dennis Hood, a friend of mine, brought this to my attention. I hadn't thought about it. He said, Brother Merv, do you ever wonder why God said the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was off limits to Adam and Eve? He said, I could understand evil, but good. I said, no. He said, it's because they didn't need to know either. God was more concerned about them knowing Him. Because if you know God, you know all you need. You know, the world right now is replacing God with education. It's not an accident that the devil hung out at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because he's hung out at Harvard and Princeton and most of our public schools. Who's ruling those systems? The education that's going on. Hello? I mean, it's got ridiculous. And if he wants people to believe 1 + 1 = 5, eventually there'll be people that just succumb to that and say, with the crowd mentality. All right. Paul knew, back to the Apostle Paul, Paul knew the gospel was simple and required sincerity, though the gospel has great depth. He said simplicity. He was fearful that through the simplicity of Christ, the devil would deceive him. Though the gospel has great depth, you can be as refreshed and saved from the surface of the gospel as the depths of the gospel. The command in the garden was simple. Do not eat of that tree. And Satan used all his tactics to get them to eat of that forbidden fruit. Today, God's command is simple. Eat of this tree. Right here. The Bible. Eat of this tree. But the devil's doing all he can to keep people from it. And it's working. Did he keep you from it yesterday? Did he keep you from it today? See, I can understand lost people, but us saved people, my mercy, how do we expect to live without nourishing ourselves through the Scriptures and fellowship with Christ? It is no, well, here's, I'm going to zero in on this now. And this could be exhaustive, but I've listed about 10 things. People are beguiled today when? Here's my list. People are beguiled today when they think they can get to heaven by any other way than Christ. Anybody that says, well, there's all these, you've been beguiled, buddy. You've been beguiled. People are beguiled today when they think they need more than Christ, more than faith in Christ to get to heaven, such as, well, yeah, you got to ask Christ, but you better go to church regularly. Yeah, you got to ask Christ, but you better get baptized too. Yeah, you got to ask Christ, but you better do some penance, better do some sacraments and confirmation class and all that first. And they begin adding stuff. You've been beguiled if you believe that. They've been beguiled. People are beguiled today when they think salvation is a license to sin rather than liberty to do right. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, the Bible says. But that is never the open door for us to do whatever we want in gratifying the flesh. Oh no, it's freedom from the shackles of sin to live unto God, to live righteously, soberly in this present earth. But, ladies and gentlemen, there are people that call themselves Christians in the name of grace, do all kinds of crazy things that would remind me of a rock concert that I used to go to. In the name of grace, dress like I used to when I partied. In the name of grace, behave sexually like the unsaved. In the name of grace, not God's grace, not Bible grace. Oh, let alone justifying alcohol. Well, Brother Monty had a sermon called The Baptist Bootleggers. They're not beyond this. There's people call themselves Baptists, think you can have a little wine for your stomach's sake, a little whiskey. See the scripts? And I know their two go-to verses. I said their two go-to verses. I can get it to them. I can point that out before they can. Let's look at the 15 to 20 other verses where God clearly says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Let's look at Lot's life. Let's look at Noah's life. Let's look what happened to them. Let alone when the wine turneth red and it turneth itself in the cup, it's fermented. I mean, there's so much scripture. Oh, woe to him that giveth his brother strong drink. Oh, but they'll ignore those. Because carnal people, just like the unsaved people, know how to justify bad behavior. They are more concerned, let me read it again. People are beguiled today when they think salvation is a license to sin rather than liberty to do right. Number four, people are beguiled today when they're more concerned about what their denomination says rather than the scriptures. Okay, I'm going to park it here. This isn't for you, but this is for my brethren. The Lord's Supper. I cannot find in the scriptures where I am supposed to restrain another believer from taking the Lord's Supper when they visit this church. I cannot find that. But some of my dear denominational brethren do. So there I said it. It's out there. Because I think we need to be more dogmatic about what the Scripture says than about what has been passed down from denomination to denomination, even if they're Baptist. I move on. People are beguiled today when they think their sins are too great for Christ to forgive. You ever run into somebody like that? Boy, they need to hear the word of faith. They need to hear the word of truth. They need to hear the word of hope. They need to know the Lord is whole. As long as they've got breath, God hadn't given up on them. Hello? As long as they can breathe, God hasn't given up on them. But some people, they're listening, I've done too much! Well, I can take you to the Bible where these people murdered people. Who knows what else they did? And they got forgiveness. Okay. People are beguiled today when they think they can change without fellowshipping with Christ. What do you mean? I mean, truly change your life for good. Get victory over those besetting sins, let alone the strongholds. Jesus said, without me, you can do. Y'all know that verse. I can't change without fellowship with Christ. You can't change without fellowship with Christ. Nobody can change without fellowship. By the way, I'll say this. I believe the devil will let some people change for a while to give a false picture. Matthew chapter 12 tells us about a guy who was demon-possessed. The devil left him, and the house got clean. And for a while, that fellow looked pretty clean, spick and span. People would have said he's a new convert. But he hadn't been born again, because when the devil came back, he knocked on the door and nobody was there. He found it empty. By the way, that's always dangerous for the devil to come to your door and find it empty. He comes to the door and finds it empty. Not only was it empty, the house is clean. Now it's party time. He brings his gang there. Matthew 12, 43, 44. He brings his gang in, and they make the place worse than it was the first time. I've seen people get sober, and then all of a sudden, they're sober for a while, and then all of a sudden, about a year later, or sometimes sooner, 6 months later, man, they're worse than they were the last time. What's the problem? Well, when the devil returned, he found the place empty. That's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're no match for the devil, ladies and gentlemen. Even believers. And by the way, don't misunderstand me. The devil cannot possess a believer. There's no place in the Scripture where the devil possessed a believer. Now, the devil can oppress a believer, and he can mess with a believer's thinking, but he cannot possess you. If you're saved, Christ is in you. That's right. But now you have a responsibility as a believer. It's a fair fight now that Christ is in you. It's a fair fight. It wasn't fair before because you had nothing, no weapon against him. But all with Jesus, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. With Jesus, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. People are beguiled today when they think education without application of Scripture will bring the blessing of God. Now, let me just say something. I believe our crowd knows a lot of Bible. I really believe our crowd knows a lot of Bible. We teach the Bible here. I mean, hopefully, and I fellowship with men who know a lot of Bible. But you know, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. It puffeth up. And only by pride cometh contention. You see, that education without application will lead to devastation. I just made that up. Now, you might be able to go around and tell people who the Antichrist is going to be and tell them about all the prophecies and tell them all. You might be able to share a lot of Bible facts. There's people in death row that can share Bible facts before they were there. Before they were put on death row, they could have been Sunday school teachers teaching the Word of God, and you could have been fed through their teaching. But that food means nothing if you don't get some exercise. There's nothing worse than Christians that are gluttons with spiritual knowledge and they have no exercise to their faith. Man, you got to make application. You got to make application. I mean, we're supposed to live holy lives. Oh, there's a word we don't hear a lot either, is it? We can't be afraid of that word. That's in the Bible. God said, be holy, for I am holy. But we're in such a worldly culture now that it's starting to invade the church, and we're afraid to talk about things like that. What does that mean? It means you ought to have good Christian character that honors and reflects Jesus Christ. That's what that means. I'm just trying to keep it simple there. People are beguiled today when, I still got a few minutes. Good. People are beguiled today when, all right, I'm kind of bouncing around, they think depression will go away by doing nothing. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know if I'm talking to someone in this room or somebody watching right now. I don't know, but I do know this. A person that's feeling gloomy inside is not going to get any better if they remain a recluse and do nothing about it and just turn the TV on and watch TV all day. That is not going to be their answer. They're going to sink and sink and sink and feel more depressed and more guilty, and they're digging themselves a deeper and deeper hole. No, no, no. You got to make yourself do something. How about praise the Lord? Oh, come to Sunday school this week. I'm already on fire for that. Hey, by the way, Brother Aaron, Brother Brian, Brother John, Peggy, I want to give you my lesson. I've already did it, and I kind of redid it. I found more typos in this past one than I did in any other lessons. I'm looking at that thing. What on earth? He was in a hurry when he typed that out. That was more than I usually have. But I'm telling you, there's something about praise, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, you don't have to feel good to praise God. Hello. I said, you don't have to. As a matter of fact, he's always worthy of praise, and praise is always important for you. Amen. It's important for God. We are his cheerleaders. Oh, all I can say is please come to the adults, come to Sunday school this week. And I don't know if the ladies' class is teaching this thing, but you need to come on in here and listen to this lesson. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Praise him, ever in joyful song. I mean, hey, he needs to be getting the glory. He needs to know there's a place down here in Lebanon that's all excited about who he is. And we're not afraid to say it with our lips. We're not afraid to shout it. We're not ashamed of what anybody says around us. Oh no, the psalmist said, offer the sacrifice of praise. And not he's not the only one. Jeremiah said it, and the writer of Hebrews said it as well. Oh, I'm going to end up teaching that whole lesson if I don't watch it. We better move on. But I want you guys to get my lesson here, because I at least want you to read through it. It is practical. People are beguiled today when they think God won't hear their prayer. You ever been there, believer? You ever been to a point in your life where you thought, God's not listening anymore? I'll tell you who's not telling you that. The Holy Spirit is not telling you that. The Word of God is not telling you that. So you're getting your resources from a different voice. Well, God just doesn't hear me. I've been praying and praying and praying. Well, you keep on praying, friend. Because if you're praying, guess who you're near? And that's a good thing. Listen, I remember when our kids were little. I remember they'd cry, and I remember there were times where they were just crying because they wanted out, but they needed to go to sleep. And it was hard for me as a dad. So I let my wife deal with it. And poor little babies just screaming their hearts out. I thought, we got to go deliver them, honey. No, they need to take a nap. We got to deliver them. They need to take a nap. Can't you hear them? They're dying in there. Ah! Ah! I'm here to tell you, if you as a parent hear your children cry, your Heavenly Father hears you cry. You have his ear. And by the way, don't you forget it. He knows what's best for you. And he wants you. He wants you to live joyful and victorious more than you do. He wants you to fulfill your purpose, your spiritual purpose, more than you do. He wants you to win souls, reach people with the gospel more than you do. He wants you to have victory over your besetting sins and your weaknesses more than you do. Yes, he does. He wants to show you he's your Father. But people are beguiled when they think God won't hear their prayer. And I'm on number 10, and we're going to wrap it up 5 minutes early. That's pretty good. We don't even, King's Kids is not going on, so. People are beguiled when they think their effort to win souls makes no difference because God already knows who's going to heaven. Oh, I'm going to leave the pulpit for this one. I can't believe it. I'm unloaded. That is, I used him up is why I emptied my holster today. Well, it's not fair.
We're one.
We are one. That's right. You know why they put pockets on shirts, fellas? For gospel tracts. That's it. They put pockets on shirts for they probably didn't even know that. But God did. You know why purses have a million pouches? So that when men forget what they need, there's something in there to cover them. Gospel tracts. Hey, listen, listen. We're doing a disservice to our own Christianity, let alone the cause of Christ, let alone our community, our testimony, our example, when we cease to witness for Christ, when we cease to try to bring people to Jesus Christ, when we cease to get out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Next week we got Bible school. We're asking children to come in, and we ought to be aggressive about asking children to come in. We ought to do whatever we can to get people to come to this church, unless you feel confident enough to give them the whole gospel on your own. Which, that's wonderful. But I guarantee you, they get here, they're going to hear the Word of God. But every child of God ought to be able to share their faith with somebody else. But what's happened is there's a poisonous philosophy going on throughout our land in the name of Christianity. No bother, you don't need a witness. God's already got them all sorted out. Where did that... Good thing Paul wasn't around. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, said Paul, we persuade men. I backed up because that had a lot of spit on it. We persuade men. It is your duty and my duty to persuade people to come to Christ. Seek the wisdom from above. Some people you got to be very super tactful. Oh, I like what old Jude said. Jude, I'll tell you, he said, hey, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then he said, keep yourself in the love of God. And then he said, and some having compassion, making a difference. And then he gets to the part that I like. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Some people need to know that hell is hot and eternal. Matter of fact, everybody needs to know that. But God, we have the plan there. If you're walking in the Spirit and you're in the love of God, God's going to give you the wisdom to deal with people the way you ought to. I've dealt with some people dead straight, gun barrel straight. You're on the path of self-destruction. Then other people are so super sensitive, I'd had to, ooh, you need to know. God loves you. There's mercy. We're not giving up on you. And I have to trust the Lord leads me either way. I'm sure I've messed up, and I got hard on the ones that needed compassion. I was compassionate on the ones that needed it. I'm sure I've messed up before, but you do the best you can. But the reality is, you need it both ways. I got saved because I was afraid of going to hell. That's why I got saved. By the way, I got right with God because I was afraid of God's wrath finishing me off. So, you know, that's just my disposition. I need it gun barrel straight. We need to be aware. When's the last time we've handed out a gospel tract? When's the last time you've tried to bring somebody to Christ? I mean, deliberately tried to bring somebody to Christ. When's the last time? You got to think about it. Because we got to evaluate ourselves. Because this is an urgent time. I mean, it's not like the Lord's postponing is coming any far. I mean, we need to occupy till He comes. Amen. All right. So my final question, as we go back to the scam artist who stole all that money from all those people. Terrible. But how much has the devil taken from you because he beguiled you in an area of your thinking? Hello. Father, may you bless the message. Thank you for the Word of God that sets the record straight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to be attentive to your voice. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if the Lord has spoke to your heart this evening, you want to use the altar, you feel free to use that altar. We're not going to rush it. I know it's Wednesday night. But maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about a decision you know you need to make. I'd like to pray for you. I truly would. If that is you this evening, if God spoke to you directly, maybe something very clearly, and you know there's a decision that needs to be made, I'd like to pray for you. Anybody like that? Say, that's me. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? All right. All right. Father, may you bless those hands that went up. Thank you for the Word of God. And may you bless, we're not going to postpone this then. May you help us, Lord God, this week. Help us as we get ready for Bible school, for church this Sunday. And help us in our personal walk. Help us not to be beguiled. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.